We'll jump on the Comcast Business Hotline with Coach Lynam. Coach, how about that? The guy asked me how you were, and there you were, right there on the line.
You can't make it up.
I know, right? And the guy before, I've had two people tonight. I know you can't make this stuff up, who have called about their memories, and I didn't even bring it up, of doubleheader basketball at the Palestra.
Oh, wow. No, yeah. I didn't hear that. Yeah, they were good days.
They were. I told them about how we threw streamers and you went side to side with the first basket from the one team and then the first basket of the other team. They were good times.
They were.
All right, let's talk about, it's the first opportunity I've had to talk about a lot of movement in the NBA during free agency. What was the most surprising to you?
Well, there were a couple of, I wouldn't put it in the category of shocking, but I think I was surprised that Kevin Durant ended up in
Brooklyn.
Yeah, with Kyrie. You know, that's a courageous move on Brooklyn's part. I mean, yes, Durant is one of the top players in the game, but that's a very serious injury, particularly at his age.
Correct.
So I found that a fascinating move. And then the whole Kawhi thing, that he ends up, yes, I'll go, you know, Grant or Paul George can get freed up and be a part of it. So I guess the bottom line for me would be the irony of it wasn't too far back that on this coast it was New York, and meaning the Knicks, and on the West Coast it was the Lakers.
Right.
And they each got warmed up by a team in Brooklyn.
Oh, right. I see where you're going.
Yeah, what used to be the lowly Clippers.
Right.
That this league has changed big time. That players have a lot more ability to say where they want to play, and, you know, they kind of collude, and I don't mean that in a bad way, you know, one with another, and try to work it out so that they can be part of what is potentially a championship team.
All right, along those lines, because it is different, I read an article yesterday where from 2015 through last season, the Warriors were always the favorite to win the NBA championship. And
right.
Now this year, there are three that have high odds, and not in any particular order because I don't have it in front of me, but Lakers, Clippers, and Milwaukee, believe it or not. And then there were 10 teams that they called like the next tier. There were seven more that would have equal odds that Toronto had going into last year. And, you know, it makes you say, it's up for grabs. I don't think anybody knows how this will play out. Would those odds surprise you?
Yeah, I'd like to see those numbers because you named the Lakers, Clippers, Milwaukee. I can't believe the Sixers are far off.
They were fifth.
Okay, fifth. Yeah, I don't think, like, for instance, pick one of those other 10 teams. The Sixers are going to be much more favored, let's say, teams 8, 9, and 10 in that second-tier group. But to your point that contrasting the way in the previous four or five seasons Golden State was a prohibitive favorite, I would agree that, no, this is much, much more wide open this coming season.
Sure, and I think it is because while you know on paper what these teams look like and what they did, you do not know what that looks like playing out because, you know, okay, you have a LeBron and an AD, but do you have enough around them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, those kinds of things. All right, along the lines of changes, the Sixers obviously changed their roster significantly, I would say. One, in not bringing Jimmy Butler back. Two, in giving a max to Tobias. And three, Al Horford's making him the second, quote, big free agent. And then also being able to acquire a Josh Richardson. Did any of those particular moves come out of left field for you?
Well, I'm going to add one to it that you didn't mention. I mean, I know you're aware of, but J.J. Redick is the one that came out.
Oh, yeah, not being here, right.
Right. And I think that's a big deal. When you take Jimmy Butler and J.J., away from your team, you've really altered the landscape considerably, I believe. Now, I'm not saying in a negative way, but that your most, let's say, prolific late game perimeter scorer in Butler, and obviously your best 3-point shooter in JJ. So
right.
When you take their perimeter play away, you know, as a duo, that's going to change the makeup of this team. So the Butler, let's say, not having been retained, that didn't shock me. JJ not coming back, yeah, that did surprise me. And then even though there were rumors about Al Horford as we got closer to the free agent date, I kind of questioned, you know, how valid that was. So, yeah, that was a bit of a surprise for me. But in hindsight, I have to say that I think that, obviously, Horford's an excellent player. There's no doubt about that, all-star level. But I think maybe the biggest, I'm not saying the only reason, but the biggest reason that he was so attractive to the 76ers was because he's such a rock-solid guy and he brings leadership qualities to, in particular, your two young franchise players.
Yep.
And I think that really looms large.
And insurance as an all-star backup center when needed.
Oh, yeah, no question that he complements Joel in that sense very, very well. But what's yet to be determined is how compatible they're going to be
together
when they're on the court together.
Yep. Yeah, no. I totally agree with you.
You know, up in the air as to how many minutes a game you're talking. But my first question would be, for instance, do you finish the game with those two guys on the court together?
Wow.
Things like that will loom large.
All right, let me ask you a question, especially because JJ, I consider him, like, you know what you're getting. He's knocking down shots for you. He's coming off, never stops moving, by the way. And, you know, those dribble handoffs. If you don't have a guy like that, and I think it would be, you know, Tobias isn't that, Josh Richardson isn't that they can make a three, yes. But do you have to change your strategy or scheme, given that you now have this talent compared to the talent you had last year or even the last two, if we're talking specifically about JJ?
Yeah, very good question, and I don't know the answer, D. I would say tweak it, yes, but what in a big picture way, you're still going to have a lot of movement. You're going to have a lot of, like, passing of the ball, cutting, screening away from the ball. That's the way Brett Brown likes to play. That's why this team has been as successful as they've been offensively. You know, will there be more of an emphasis to try to, let's say, post Embiid in late stages of the game? You know, that's to be determined. I would guess that it will evolve to that point. I don't mean a pound it in to Embiid time after time kind of thing. I think you're still going to see a team play with a lot of pace, but I do think there'll be an expectation that Joe will loom large late in the game down closer to the basket.
I have a question. Can you, as a coach, or would you, I guess is the way to say this, would you run a play occasionally to force Ben Simmons to take some kind of jump shot?
Last year, no. This year, hopefully, is how I would respond. My expectation would be that he comes back after a summer of working, and there's no question that he's going to work and is working on his game, that outside shot will be a bigger part. Now, how big a part, I can't say that, but I think he'll be more comfortable shooting some jump shots.
Okay.
Will they be 3-point shots? Don't know. But I think you will see him take some jump shots, and I don't think you're going to have to run a play to get him to do that. I think that'll
be... You'll think he'll do it organically. He'll do it.
I do.
Yeah. All right. I hope you're right. I leave you with this. Today is National Ice Cream Day, so we have been asking people what their favorite flavor is. Now, you know I'm privy to knowing what's in your freezer, because... but I'll let you share with the people. Do you have a favorite flavor / a place you get it?
Unfortunately, I have too many favorite flavors. starting with an old stand by Breyer's vanilla from the.
That's always in the freezer. It's a half gallon. Isn't that a half gallon, I think?
Yes, it is.
Half gallon, right? Always in there. Yep.
There's one in the freezer right now.
There you go.
But no, Haagen-Dazs, I like a number of their flavors.
I shared with people that we used to have the Haagen-Dazs in the Portland, Oregon airport.
How about it? Yes, yep. Sir.
That was one of our favorites. And you were always a Dairy Queen guy because, I don't know if you worked there, but certainly my sister did.
I did work. I blazed the trail for all those young guys.
All right. Coach Lynam, I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing part of your Sunday with us.
As always, buddy. My pleasure.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.